This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Oscars are coming up this Sunday, the annual celebration of the best movies of last year. Nowadays, if you're looking to see a movie, maybe you go, well, no, probably you stay at home and call one up on streaming, but maybe if you want to go out to see a movie, you go to the local megaplex that has giant screens and surround sound, maybe even reclining seats. It's a big change from the theaters that were commonplace across America in the 20th century, but some of those venues have found new life under nonprofit ownership that restored them to their former glory. And on top of movies, some of those theaters also bring all sorts of performers to their stage. We wanted to spend the last part of our program today spotlighting a couple of those theaters with decades of history among them. And we begin with the Normal Theater in Normal, Illinois. It's an Art Moderne style theater that opened in 1937. The town of Normal has operated it since the 90s, and with me to talk about that is Adam Fox, Normal's Civic Arts Manager. Adam, welcome to the 21st show.
Thanks so much. Good to be here.
I should mention to listeners, we tape this program ahead of time, so we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. All right, so I briefly mentioned the Art Moderne style. I hope I said that right. What does that mean? If someone comes to the theater, what would they see inside and out?
It's got a very Art Deco feel. It's probably the best way of saying it. Art Moderne was sort of the evolution of that just after. I understand I had to read that myself. But the large marquee outside, that sort of iconic neon, when you're coming up, you see those big signs, the big sign with Normal on it, all the flashing lights. That we always say that the experience begins out on the sidewalk before you've even come into the space. And that marquee is an iconic part of Uptown Normal. It's something that everyone is taking photos in front of. It's one of the most Instagrammable places that we have in Uptown, and it is a recognizable landmark. It has been, as you said, since 1937.
So let's talk about some of that theater history up through how the town got involved. What were the early days like?
Well, I wasn't there in 1937, of course, but it was opened as a single screen cinema, and it was specifically opened for film, which was unlike a lot of the venues at the time, which were converted vaudeville houses. So the Normal Theater was built for people to be able to experience film and to see film with sound, which was another unique feature at the time. So they were really thinking about acoustics and how to take that mono speaker and shove it to the back of a house with over 500 people in it. So it's a lovely space. It's very warm. The acoustics are very rich in there. And over time, it has change shape a little bit. For a bit, they did the dreaded twinning back in the 1980s, trying to split it into two different screens as it kind of went through its different evolutions and its different iterations, finally sitting ultimately empty towards the late 80s. And it was about that time where they were trying to find a buyer, trying to figure out who's going to take over this centerpiece of what was then Downtown Normal, and how could we make it something that was attractive again for people. And someone had the idea of saying, well, what if we did it? What if the town of Normal took over this space and revitalized it and restored it back to its glory of 1937? And that's kind of how it came to be under the town's ownership. It's unique in that sense, but it's been a really, really great arrangement.
Yeah, as I was learning more about this, the question did cross my mind. Do you ever get the sort of pushback, you know, why is a municipal government running a movie theater? Why are my tax dollars paying for this sort of thing?
Well, we're fortunate not to. I mean, we actually have a very supportive council, a very supportive administration we always have. And I think the residents of the community really love the Normal Theater. I think that if it ever went away, that's where you would get the most outcry. And I think if people were saying, well, I shouldn't have been paying for that, then they realize how little they're actually paying for it. I think that that would be when they would realize that there's something that was really lost. We are a holiday tradition for so many people. We sometimes joke that the Normal Theater is open actually more than just December 1st through the 31st. We actually are open year round because we see so many people coming in during those holiday months to have those traditions of It's a Wonderful Life and White Christmas and bring the whole family out and plan when the family's coming in town for the holidays around this. So we really are a community space, and we are a place that people treat with the a bit of revelry, I guess you'd say. So no, we haven't gotten any pushback from it. In kind of the nonprofit model, we have that mix of contributed income, which in this case is municipal budget, and earned income from the box office. And that's kind of how that balance plays out. We try and keep it as revenue neutral as possible. And it's been, again, a good arrangement for about 25 years now.
So you mentioned the holiday Christmas time programming. What other sort of events happen at the theater?
Well, we have a lot of sort of holiday-centric events. October is we always joke that orange and black is kind of the new red and green for us because we have so many great programs around Halloween. People are coming out to see all sorts of different things from the classic monster movies up to new horror films that are just on the festival circuit or premiering. We do a lot of partnerships with Illinois State University, screenings of documentaries, of more niche content, things that relate to programs on campus that are then open to both students and the public. So we get a wonderful blending of audiences together in there. And that has been just an incredible relationship that we love to be able to say, well, I don't know, you guys want to try this? You want to try that? And just see what it looks like. So a lot of different partners from the community, from the university, help to program that space and make it something that really speaks to everyone in the community and represents Bloomington Normal in the best way possible.
I used to be an A&E writer, and so I have a sort of curiosity about the business case here. Do you ever run into issues with the Hollywood studios or with the big mega chain theater companies in terms of trying to get movies and schedule them? I know there are like exclusion zones and radiuses around some of those theaters that sort of limit what smaller independent venues can show sometimes.
It can be a little tricky, and without getting too much into how the sausage is made, we are usually trying to program things that aren't showing at those venues. We want to offer an alternative. We want to make sure that if you can see it at one of the megaplexes, that's an option for you. But there are so many great films that are released every year that never get screen time, especially now, as you alluded to in the intro, so many people are streaming at home. There are films that never get seen up on the big screen, and they deserve that. They deserve the experience of being screened with an audience in that shared space together, that shared moment together, going on that ephemeral journey and hopefully being changed from it and relating to everybody differently because of that. So yes, occasionally we'll be looking at something from one of the bigger independent studios, your A24, your Neon, something like that. And we're trying to balance where that's going to come in, whether it's going to go to one of the other studios or theaters, excuse me, or if it's going to come to us. But usually we're lucky enough to say, we're going to show something different and we're going to have that alternative. And then there is space, and then there is the opportunity for us.
Adam Fox is Normal's Civic Arts Manager. Adam, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And with this year's Oscars just around the corner, we are talking about a couple of classic movie theaters in different parts of Illinois that are still alive and well under nonprofit ownership. And we turn now to the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb. It first opened in 1929. Janine Holcomb is the theater's marketing and communications director. She joins me now. Janine, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. We love to talk about our theater.
So it's the Egyptian Theater. That is, I know that's a thing in Southern Illinois, but this is Northern Illinois. Tell us, what can someone expect to see if they come to the theater? What do we mean when we say Egyptian?
That's a great question. So yeah, the Egyptian motif was a very popular trend back in the 20s. And as you mentioned, we did open in 1929. So yeah, when you come in, from the moment you see our marquee through the bathrooms, concession stands, to your seat, you are going to be immersed in Art Deco Egyptian revival architecture, which is just so exciting to have. And it was because of the discovery of King Tut's tomb in 22 that kind of kicked off this Egypt mania, if you will. And there used to be over 100 of these Egyptian theaters across the country, not related, just a trend in architecture at the time. And now we are one of only 7 remaining Egyptian theaters in the entire country. So we're very excited to still be here and still welcoming patrons day after day.
So what is the story of survival? If so few of them made it to the present, how did the Egyptian in DeKalb make it?
That's a great, great question. I feel so many of small theaters have a very similar story of privately owned. You get to about the 70s, 80s, things get a little rough for businesses. And the same was with us. The late 70s, basically the people who owned the building had stopped paying their bills. The city was taking it under ownership and it was in such bad shape that it was actually going to be torn down and turned into a parking lot. We were very lucky to have a group of citizens say they do not build buildings like this anymore. They got this on the National Registry of Historic Places in 1978, formed the nonprofit the same year, and then basically started operating to get this building back up to its fighting weight. So from 82 to 83, they did a major restoration that brought a lot of what you see inside our theater to life. And then just recently, and we finished it in 2020, believe it or not, we finished a $6.5 million expansion, which expanded our restrooms, concessions, and for the very first time added air conditioning to our space. So it is truly the coolest place in town now.
Oh my gosh, air conditioning in 2020. Who would have thought? You know, that brings up a good point though. How do you strike that balance between those amenities like concession stands and accessibility and goodness, air conditioning, and also respecting the history and the period of historic significance, I know architects like to say.
Absolutely. That is a very great thing that we have to ponder whenever we're doing renovation and restoration here at the theater is how this building was used in 1929 versus how it's used in 2024 are similar, but they're very different in the sense of having 1,400 people show up for a show, 1,400 people take a bathroom break for 20 minutes, and then 1,400 people exit a building, as compared to having vaudeville shows or having small, you know, run movies where you're not having that much body movement. So we have to very much talk with when registered on the National Registry of Historic Places. So we work with that office just to make sure that they're looking at our plans whenever we're doing big expansions, that they have, we have a blessing from them to make sure we're not doing anything that looks too 2020. We want it to make it look very 1920s, but have that expectation that patrons have of, I can go to the restroom and not have to wait in a 20-minute line. I can still get a glass of wine and enjoy my show. And I'll be able to move around the space very easily. So we're not done. There's always something that needs to be done in a 94-year-old venue, but we are certainly making big strides.
So give us a sampling of sort of the sort of events that the theater hosts or maybe is hosting in the near future.
Absolutely. So we try to keep a wide variety. We do a lot of live programming. Most of ours is one night only, so you aren't going to see a Broadway run here. For example, tomorrow night we have Gaelic Storm and the High King, so that'll be a Celtic blowout tomorrow night. We're near sold out. But then we do smaller stuff, like you mentioned, the Oscars film series. So we did do a countdown to the Oscars, doing different films through the decades. Those are going to be a little bit smaller. And then we do community events. That's one of the things that really gives us pride as the nonprofit, is letting over 30 different community organizations use this space, whether that be dance recitals, whether that be, we have a local women's shelter that uses this for their events. So we partner a lot with our other nonprofits just to make sure that our community can use this, not just for entertainment, but for learning and discussion as well.
And I mentioned at least the pandemic, 2020 had a big renovation heading into that, that did put sort of a dampening on live events and people gathering together. How did the venue weather that?
We went 15 months with absolutely no live programming, and it was incredibly difficult. We watched every single penny that we had, but we were incredibly lucky through the support of our community, through the support of grants, COVID relief funding, that we were able to keep the staff that we have. We have been very small and continue to grow, but that allowed us that once we got through major restrictions, that we were able to have live shows back in the building. We had many of the staff that was still here, so we could pick right up seemingly where we left off. So that, I think, has been a huge success in getting us back up on our feet so quickly, as we didn't have to retrain anyone. Everyone was still here on board, and the community truly is what made this ship float through one of the worst storms that we've weathered.
All right, Janine Holcomb is the Marketing and Communications Director at the Egyptian Theater in DeKalb. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. This has been very fun. We love our 94-year-old venue. Invite you anytime you're up in DeKalb, stop on by. We'd love to walk you around.
All right. Thanks for that. And I should mention to listeners, we tape this on Thursday. So when Janine said tomorrow night, that's actually tonight for people listening to us now here on the 21st show. And that's all the time we have for our program today. I do want to mention, coming up 1 month from today, Southern Illinois will be plunged into darkness for a few minutes anyway during the solar eclipse. This is an exceedingly rare event, but there happened to be one here in Illinois just a few years ago. If you saw that, if you're planning to go to the next one, let us know what that experience is like and what your plans are. Leave a voicemail at 217-300-2121. We're going to be talking about the eclipse. We'd love to share your experiences with our show, and maybe you can have some tips for people checking out the eclipse later this year. Again, leave us a voicemail anytime, 217-300-2121. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Damian Contreras. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. You can find our podcast link on our website, 21stshow.org, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.